ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه ويوسين والمزمل والمدثر، أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الروحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدي على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات الحمد لله and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being kind on us by guiding us and providing all that is required for our guidance and the guidance of mankind. Allah has given us the best of the prophets. Allah has given us the best of the leaders, the 14 infallible and divine leaders. Allah has revealed best of the book and a complete book on the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. From the very, very beginning of these lectures, you mentioned that you would like to discuss or reflect that how man can reach the heights of excellence, what we can do to reach there. These prophets and the imams were perfect, and they were on the highest position of the excellence where a human being can reach. Maybe we would not be able to, rather definitely we would not be able to reach that height of excellence which those prophets and imams has reached. But even if our direction is correct, so then there will be a hope that we will reach at least closer to that perfection and excellence which is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He may allow us and permit us to enter into paradise. Allah has His own criteria and levels to gauge that where this human being, this person, this male or female stands. In Quran, Allah has mentioned that there is no difference between men and women from the aspect of their creation. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى, that we have created you from men and a woman. That they are same, they have been made with the same dark, dry clay. It's not that man has been created with a superior sort of a clay and women were being created with the inferior. In creation, men and women are same. In having and receiving rewards on the day of judgment, men and women are equal. Whosoever, Quran says, the meaning of the ayat is, whosoever do the good will receive the reward. Whosoever, regardless that person is a male or female, men or women. In creation, they are same and equal. In receiving rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are same and equal. Only the responsibilities which has been given to these men and women in this world, it differs from each other. Even the responsibilities which have been given on men, they differ from person to person. And similarly on women. So all men, they don't have same privilege, they don't have same obligation, they don't have same and similar responsibilities. And similarly, women. So even among men and even among women, there is a difference of privileges and responsibilities. At times, we try to match equality in our dress-up, in our eating habits, in the habits of attitudes, and so on. Although that there is no match, no parallel, Allah has made a person in a way and given responsibility according to that. Women has been created differently and they have given responsibility in a different manner. So equality is not in these dressing and the worldly responsibilities. These responsibilities has been given as a test. If you would like to see the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should see the justice of Allah in creation and justice of Allah at the time of judgment, that is on the day of judgment. It's not that if a man has offered 2 rakat of prayers and woman has offered 2 rakat of prayers, men will be given 2 rewards and women a single reward. No, they will have similar. The rewards will be given according to their sincerity and intentions and purity of their hearts and minds. The criteria differs over there. So we need to understand there is different responsibilities which we have. We work at different places, we have different responsibilities. So don't try to get confused or make people confused that there is no equality and justice. This world is just a place of test. In Surah Mulk, Allah mentions that we have created death and life. We have created maut and hayat. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. To test you, to examine you, that who is the best amongst you in performing your obligations and responsibilities. This world in which we are living for a limited period of time, question may come in our minds, then what about all those people making fuss of this thing that there is injustice in this world, there is no equality? What about those people? Again, if we go, I think in the speech number 2nd, in which explained the vision, life vision. If a person has a narrowed vision, limited to this limited years of worldly life, then maybe we can see there is a disparity and there is no equality among men and women. But if we broaden our vision of life and do not limit our lives to only these few years of this materialistic world, we will come to know that the rewards are over there, not in this world. If we have been provided a comparatively comfortable life, it's a test. And if we are facing different types of challenges in our lives, again, it's a test. And it doesn't go like that. It test is sometime inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. That after every test, every challenging time, there is a time of comfort and easiness. Again, Allah says, after every difficult time, you will have comfort. So it's not straight that everyone is at comfort. It's not like that everyone is in difficult time from the beginning of his life till his death. Allah tests us in different scenario and circumstances, situations, to test us how we feel, how we perform in this world. What are our feelings? What are our intentions? How our actions are? If we have given wealth, what we do? Are we fulfilling the responsibilities which has been put on the shoulders of wealthy people or not? Or if we are poor, so are we forbearing at that time, that situation, or making fuss of it and just crying that we have difficulty, we have problems, this and that, or we do sabr over there. We are steadfast. We do not move our feet out of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the test. Difficult times comes in everyone's life. But if we have that vision and the objective in accordance to the vision, that is to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan fa mulaqi, that your destination is to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek His pleasure. And if we make sure that we won't go astray, so we will be rewarded with two things, at least two things. One in this world, and the second one in hereafter. What we will get if we are fulfilling our responsibilities? We will get the qalb mutma'in, that is a satisfied heart which says that I have fulfilled my responsibilities which was been given to me by my Creator. Because everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not possess a penny, a cent. You people must have gone for Hajj or Umrah. If you haven't, or you have visited, may Allah give us all this opportunity to perform Hajj and Umrah inshallah. When we go for Hajj and Umrah, we change our clothes and dress in ihram, in two pieces, especially for men, two pieces of cloth. And there are many things which are prohibited. You cannot wear perfumes. You cannot comb your hairs. You cannot do this thing. You cannot that thing. You cannot even break a hair from your body. A person is not allowed to break a single hair from his or her body. If hair is on the head, okay, it's very much valuable. Till it's on the head. Even for the people like me. Once, somehow, it comes out from there, what we do? It is very much precious. It's very much precious for people when it's been attached over there. But when it's detached, do we put it in the in a safe place, preserve it? No, we throw it. So when the hair which grows on our head does not possess that value, so what is the value of the hair which grows on the other part, like on our hands? What is the value of that? Does it have any value? Are you going to buy it from the market? No. It doesn't have any value. Then why Allah has asked that be careful that no hair from your body should be detached intentionally, spatially, from your body? Why? It doesn't have any value. Whenever I used to go for Hajj, I used to think about these. Why? Something valuable, okay. But there are things like that doesn't have much value, then why Allah has asked to be careful about it? I discussed this thing with ulama and scholars and come to this conclusion that maybe Allah would like to make me understand, Shahidi, remember you do not belong to yourself, you belongs to me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Shahidi, you belongs to me. And when you belongs to me, all what you possess belongs to you, even this little hair belongs to me. So you cannot detach this hair from your body without my permission. To make us understand that we all belongs to Allah. If we belongs to Allah, so whatever we possess belongs to Allah. Again, it's easy to speak about it, but when it comes to actions, it's a test. It's a real test. And that's what we should develop conviction and yaqeen about, this, that everything Allah has created us, we belongs to Him. You buy a car, you haven't created that car. You bought it, you say it's mine. You haven't created your house, you have bought it, you say it's mine. You will say, Maulana, actually I'm buying it. Yes. How you bought it? You will say, I earned it. I spent so many hours of days and night. It's my hard-earned money. It's my money. How are you able to earn it? Because you're able to acquire knowledge. How are you able to acquire knowledge? Because you have intellect to understand. The job, the profession in which me and you are, we would not be there if we were not educated. We would not be educated if we do not possess intellect. Question, have we provided this intellect to ourselves? Is this intellect has been provided to us by our parents? No. It has been provided to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, we learn, we earn, we buy, we get comfort. It all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If whatever I am earning, it belongs to Allah. So if Allah comes and asks to give a little bit from it, so why we are hesitant? It all belongs to Him. And He is not asking each and every cent which we earn. He said, just give me some loan. Some other place He says, give me some charity. Some other place He says, give me some zakat. Some other place He says, give me khums. That's it. What He wants. He is asking you 20-25% of what you earn. What you earn. You earn without any problem. You give more than 30-40% of your income to the country in which you are living, which should be done, of course. Wherever you are living, taxes are over there. We don't ask that, we don't say to them, we don't protest in front of them, this is our hard-earned money. Do we? No. Then why we protest against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why we say only to Allah that this is my money? Why are you asking for charity? Why are you asking for sadaqah? Why are you asking that I should help poor people? Why are you asking me to help orphan people? Why are you asking me to help the families of shahada? Why are you asking me to help to develop a center? Why are you asking me to educate people? Why are you asking me to spend to create educational institutes? Why are you asking me, Allah, for that? Why we protest all the time to Allah? Yes, we ask and we should ask that we need more. We need more. Maybe I have mentioned it before as well, that to get more, the best way which has been mentioned in Quran is that in shakartum lazidannakum. If you became grateful and thankful, Allah will increase that thing. Giving charity, helping others, your brothers, your sister over here, back home. Don't forget those people. Don't forget your parents. Don't forget the social responsibilities which we have on our shoulders. Don't forget the religious responsibilities which we have on our shoulders. For charity and zakat, poor people has not been asked. Rather, they have been asked to restrain themselves. Poor people has not been asked to go to on the door of wealthy people and ask for zakat. No. Wealthy people has been asked to go at the doorstep of poor people and help them. It is the responsibility to pay zakat and charity on wealthy people. It's not the responsibility of poor people to acquire and snatch it from wealthy people. No. They have been asked to live within their limits, to do sabr, be patient and forbearance in their life, and not to beg in front of others. But it is the responsibility of wealthy people. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. We started from the vision. We mentioned about that what should be the criteria. We discuss about the different aspects of one's life. Tonight I would like to mention few things from one of the surahs of Quran. These things which we discuss over here is just to try to give you something thought-provoking to think later on, to go through it in details, in tafaseer and details books of scholars and ulama. If you go through Surah Furqan from verse number 63 onwards, till end, that is the verse number 77. It gives us, this is not the only place, but over here also it has mentioned that what type of qualities we should possess to reach excellence, or to correct our direction towards the excellence and towards the perfection. Over here in verse number, it's a surah number 25, and as I said, it's verse number 63 onwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, ibadur rahman الذين يمشون على الأرض حونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. I will not go through the complete translation, just the main points. Number one, they are Ibadur Rahman. That is servant of Rahman. Allah hasn't used Allah word over here or some other. Rahman, the one who is the merciful, not only on believers, but on the entire creation. Not only believers, not only human beings, but on entire creation. Ibadur Rahman, Rahman, that is being merciful. Because Allah is not only the sustainer, provides sustain to mankind, but also to animals, to plants, and even to the matter, solids like stone, like sand, like mountains. Allah provide those nourishments to them as well, which is required for them to be a stone over there. So Allah provides everyone. So this is something to ponder about it, to go into details. Alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardh hawna, when they walk, they are not rude to others. The point is over here, one of the things that a person should be humble to other people. They should not show their attitudes to other people because they are in some aspect better than others. Maybe they are more knowledgeable. Maybe they are more stronger. Maybe they are more wealthier. Maybe they have some skill. They can handle technical things over here, like computers and different things. Maybe they can manage the center. Maybe someone, because they can cook better than others, or something like that. These are the actual things. These examples I'm giving. These are the examples of our daily life. On these little issueless thing, we make an issue out of it. There is nothing. If you have done something good, it goes back to you. But why to show attitude at school, at job, at work? We show attitudes to our colleagues, to our friends. Why? So the basic thing to reach the excellence of mankind, Allah says that a people should be humble. It should be they very humble and should not be show the attitude where the khatimahum al-jahilun. Qalu salama. And if you come across with an arrogant person, or an ignorant person, jahil, doesn't know, doesn't have that knowledge, awareness. So don't be rude. Qalu salama. Show your patience and provide him with knowledge. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. A little bit, if you can move forward, so still people are coming. So they can join us easily. They can find place at the back. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So these are the two great qualities which a person should possess. Now, another thing, another aspect. It has another dimension. At times we take it everything as a personal grooming. Although whatsoever we do, it all goes back to us. If we do something good, it will come back to us. If we do something bad, it will come back to us. But there are some things, some qualities, which are exclusively very personal sort of qualities. But the other part is that qualities are in interaction with other people. Like when it's been said that not to be rude and be humble. So it is a quality which it's nothing to do with your individual being an individual person. No, it is when you will come across with another person. So it becomes a social responsibility. While you are with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your brothers and sisters, your relatives, your neighbors, people at your work, or any other people, a person should be humble. Should be humble. Yes, they are exceptionals. They are exceptionals. Like when you are in the battlefield, then don't say, you first hit me first, then I'll hit you. They won't get you a chance. So you at times, they are exceptionals. But in general, it should be, person should be humble. And then, another quality. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Now this is something which is very personal. That these are the people who spend their nights in the darkness of night. What they do? Sujjadan wa qiyama. They do sajda. They do qiyam. They do ibadat. Not this ibadat which you are performing on your musalla, on your prayer rug, is nothing to do with other people. It belongs to you. So now it's the balance, the combination of two things make a person an excellent person, a perfect person. Just being a good worshipper will not make us a perfect person. Being only humble and kind to other people will again not going to make us a good and perfect person. A combination of social and individual responsibility will bring excellence and perfection in our lives. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad Ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Dalai takbir.
Allahu akbar.
Dalai risalat.
Ya Rasulullah.
Dalai hadari.
Actually, just I was thinking while I'm drinking water that I hope somebody make a Nara Hedri so I can, you know, get some energy. And mashallah, I got response. Just what you say, that therapy. I don't know that therapy, but it's the therapy amongst the mu'mineen, I think so. Salawat Muhammad wa alayhi
Muhammad.
Now over here. وَالَّذِينَ يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم ان عذابك كان غراما. What does he say to Allah? Allah say, please save me. In short, as I'm telling you, save me from the fire of hell and don't give me punishment. What is this? It's a dua. What is dua? Dua is actually a relation, and the stronger the dua, the stronger relation will be developed between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between you, between the creator and the creation. What else? It shows that we really believe when we are saying that Allah save me from the fire of hell and forgive me and save me from the punishment. Don't punish me on the day of judgment. What? We are saying that Allah, we believe that you are creator. We believe that we will come back to you. We believe that there is a paradise and hell. We believe that there is a day of judgment. And justice will be given. In just one sentence, we have shown so much belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's the how we feel. It's the connectivity. It's the connection that we should develop. Again, if we do not able to connect ourselves, and we are not able to connect ourselves with our own supplications and dua, we must we must seek intercession through the supplications taught to us by Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Ayatullah Marashe Najafi, Rizwanullah Ta'ala alay, those who visited Qum 20 years back, they must have offered their congregational prayers in the what you say courtyard of Hazrat Masuma Salamullah Alayha. And one of the significant of his salat was that, especially in the month of Ramzan, that he used to end his maghrib before the azan ends. So he used to be very quick in his, especially in Ramzan. Although he was very quick, so people can be, more people can join and can easily offer prayers. So he used to be very quick. He sent Sahifa Sajjadiyah to one of the muftis of Jamatul Azhar in Egypt. Now mufti is someone, you can say, as we say, as a mujtahid, at least, because they give degree of being mufti at very early years, after 5-7 years they give. But of course there is different levels of muftis. But he sent the book of Sahifa Sajjadiyah to the Grand Mufti, what we say in our in Shia, we say Ayatullah al-Uzma, Marja'i Taqleed. So he sent to the Grand Mufti of Jamatul Azhar, or he was the principal as well of Jamatul Azhar in Egypt. That Mufti had never gone through Sahifa Sajjadiyah. When he studied that book, what I said? Studied, not read. He studied that book and said that we do not have anything like this in our entire collection of books. It's a jewel. It's a jewel of supplications which has been provided by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. It's a teaching of Quran is in it. It's a teaching of Ahlul Bayt. Moral, ethical, political, educational, financial. Allahu Akbar. You go through it. It's not just dua. It's a message in it. It's a message in it to ponder on it. It's not just we read it and that's it. We go, we say, okay, we have read. We will get the sawab. Yes, we will get the sawab. But these duas are not to just read. We should go through it and it should come out from our hearts. Again, in next verse, in verse number 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. People, when they give charity, they do not give everything and they are not being miser. That they do the balance. They do not give everything. Now this is for someone of a common average of iman. But those who have crossed that level, they have no limitation. They have no limitations. As we see in that event in which Imam Ali alayhi salam, Hazrat Fatima salamullah, and Imam Hassanain, they had only one piece of a bread and they gave away. For poor people, and for orphans and for imprisoned people. They gave away. So their level is different, but this is for the common believers and Ahle Iman. Even if we are able to do, because we have responsibility towards our family as well. But we should be balanced. Not everything should be. We should be not stingy that. We should not take out anything. For poor, for needy, for the places where it's required. Because whatsoever, it's the another place in the hadith, said whatsoever we give in charity will remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we spend in this world will be perished and finished. So if we are sending 5%, so we will receive 5% of it. And if we are giving more, we will get more reward of it. If your pay is good, you give good taxes. In the end, you get good return out of it. So you can spend and go around the world and see the world as well. So when in this world, in materialistic world, we get this little more money, we are happy. So just believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will give many folds. And places said that I will give you 10 times. Other places he have mentioned, it's more than 30 times. Other places mentioned, we have give you more than 70 times. Other places mentioned that we give you more than 1,000 times. But it is because we don't believe. It's very difficult. Really, it's difficult to believe. It's a children playing outside. If someone will come over here, just running over here, and say, "Hey guys, someone is outside and just giving free $10,000, $100,000, what will happen? What will happen? We all will say, well, we say we can continue much just after 5 minutes. Well, let's take first that $1,000 or whatever reward has been given over here. So do you believe in that kid? Say, no, I don't believe in kid. But there is a little possibility. Why to waste that little possibility? So don't we have that little possibility in what Allah is telling us by sending 124,000 prophets and revealing more than 313 books and scriptures and the complete book Quran, and several thousand times Allah mentions that I am going to give you, and we don't even give that much importance to the words of Allah and the words of prophets and the words of Imam, what they have said to us, not even what we give importance to that little kid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My dear, we need to really think about it. It's not so easy to be amongst the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Especially when we go through the night, a heavy night. Before we enter, kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Kindly recite one more Salawat Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
We talk about our allegiance to our imams, our commitment to our imams, that Mawla, if we have been in Karbala, we have given you our lives, we have also tendered our lives like other people. We give examples, there are examples of Hazrat Qasim, example of Hazrat Ali Akbar, example of Abul Fadl Abbas, examples of companions. Although those companions cannot have that excellence what these Hazrat Abbas and Hazrat Ali Akbar they possessed, but yes, still they are the best, and that's what Imam Hussein said. You know, Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas, who is Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas? It's difficult to introduce a person like him. We have heard about him that Amirul Mu'mineen waited right time to get married to his mother, Ummul Baneen. He did not got married to Hazrat Ummul Baneen just after the demise of Hazrat Fatima Salamullah Alayha. There have been other couple of marriages before that. I think Holy Prophet Amir al-Mu'mineen has calculated all these time and years, and then on the right time he asked his brothers and cousins that find someone, a lady, a brave, a strong lady, a lady with a strong will who can bear a child, a brave child who can be helpful for my Hussein. Allahu Akbar. They found Ummul Baneen, and Amirul Mu'mineen got married to her. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas, on the day of Ashura, as most of the famous books mentions, his age was 34 years, the prime age. Hazrat Abbas, what we see from Hazrat Abbas, when we say that he is the bravest person of all times, Hazrat Abbas was in the battles which was being fought by Amir al-Mu'mineen, especially of Nehrawan. In the battle of Nehrawan, Hazrat Abbas slaughtered tens of people. It's been mentioned that he has slaughtered more than 200 people over there. And his age, he was just a little young boy, that's it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He's just a young boy at that time. But on the day of Ashura, what sort of battle he fought? He was never been allowed to go into the battlefield. But what bravery he showed. If you see in the life of Abul Fadl Abbas, there's a lesson for a true, sincere, devoted, pure believers. There have been several people who advised Imam Hussein when he was leaving Medina, stay back, go there, go here, and so on. Many people advised Imam Hussein when he reached Mecca and wanted to left Mecca. But you have never ever heard and read that Hazrat Abbas had mentioned a word of suggestion to his brother, to his imam. And this is one of the best qualities, because he has that yaqeen that whatsoever Imam Hussein decision will take, will be the righteous decision, will be the right decision. Not only the righteous decision, it will be the right, the only thing, the decision he will take. His yaqeen was on Imam Hussein was absolute, 100%. When we say that Hazrat Abbas, when we talk about his wafa, his commitment, his wafa is over here, wafa. That he is never left. Hazrat Abbas saved Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Makkah. Allahu Akbar. When they were in Makkah, Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, he felt that these people are having conspiracy against Imam Hussain, would like to shed his blood in Kaaba. And at that time, he gave a sermon at that time. He gave a speech and said, "Oh, you people, what you are thinking about?" He was giving the meaning of it, not the exact words. He said, "What you are thinking about? You are thinking to shed the blood of someone whose father was being born in Kaaba?" So there were many people who never knew, because they were being sent from Syria, from the places. They never knew that who these family members of Holy Prophet are. Allahu Akbar. And when he mentioned this, many people started asking and whispering, "Who is Hussein? And what is the relation with this Kaaba? Who was his father?" Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So ignorant people. And yet wanted to shed the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar, Allah. Hazrat Abu al-Fadl Abbas saved him over there. And then gave his little speech to make and try to convince them that if you are following the right imam and leader, then there is a value to your hajj, value of your tawaf, value of your salat. Because if a person is not a follower of a true imam, all his efforts will go in vain. His salat, his soam, his hajj, his zakat, everything will be wasted till that person do not have belief and yaqeen in his imam of his time. Imam of his time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas was the person on whom the sixth Imam sent his salutes and salam to him and said, "Assalamu alayka, ya Jaddi, ya Abu al-Fadl Abbas, Allahu Akbar." The people who were sitting in his presence said, "What is the virtue of Abbas?" I will reply to them myself. The virtue of Abbas was that Imam is remembering him and giving and sending his salam to Hazrat Abbas. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Hazrat Abu al-Fadl Abbas. One of his name was, title was Alamdar, the flag bearer of Imam Hussein, like his father, like Amir al-Mu'mineen, as he was the flag bearer of the Holy Prophet. Hazrat Abbas was the flag bearer of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. As he accompanied the Holy Prophet all the times, Hazrat Abbas made sure that he should not leave Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. And that time that came, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas, before that, on the 9th of Muharram, Shimr came to Hazrat Abbas and said, I give you Aman. Shimr be Hazrat Abbas goft, man be shuma Aman midam. Biya be taraf man, hichi betun kari nadarim. Hich kari betun nadarim. Hazrat Abbas goft, vay bar tu. که امان برای من میاری و برای پسر زهرا امانی نیست. الله اکبر. جب شمر ملعون امان نامه لے کر آیا حضرت عباس کے لیے کہ آپ ہماری طرف آ جائیں, آپ کو کچھ نہیں کہا جائے گا, آپ کو امان دیا جائے گا, آپ اپنے بھائیوں کے ساتھ آ جائیں, آپ کی رشتہ داری ہم سے مل لگتی ہے کہیں سے. اللہ اکبر. حضرت عباس نے کہا کہ تم میرے لیے تو امان نامہ لائے ہو اور جناب زہرا کے بیٹے کے لیے کوئی امان نامہ نہیں ہے اور تم اس کے خون کے در پہ ہو. اللہ اکبر. When he replied, and at times it's been mentioned that Aman Nama, he put his letter under his feet and went away because he do not want to go in front of Imam Hussain alayhi salam to be ashamed that people has brought peace for me and there is no peace for you. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hazrat Abbas asked on the 9th of Muharram that if you allow, we may finish them before more army comes for their help. Imam said, no, we would not like to start our fight. Hazrat Abbas said, no, okay. Hazrat Abbas was an obedient person. Allahu Akbar. Imshab, Shabi Hazrat Abbas. Chi began Hazrat Abbas. Shara began Hazrat Abbas. Hazrat Abbas, Imshab, Shabi Buzurgiz. Ke heech kas dast khali az injan nemitune bere. Hazrat Abbas be har kas mirase. Be har kas duaish mustajab miche. Vakti ke be vaste Hazrat Abbas dua mikune, dast khali az injan nemire. Allahu Akbar. حضرت عباس کا وہ حضرت عباس کی وہ شخصیت ہے, وہ حیثیت ہے کہ جب کوئی ان کا واسطہ دیتا ہے تو کبھی خالی جھولی نہیں جاتا ہے. خالی جھولیوں سے آتے تو ہیں لیکن خالی جھولیوں سے نہیں جاتے. حضرت عباس ہر ایک کی دعاؤں کو پروردگار کے نزدیک مستجاب کرواتے. اللہ اکبر. One of the scholars in Karbala
mentions that he was offering his prayers in the haram of Hazrat Abbas. When he saw that a person came over there, did his short ziyarat and sat down in a corner, and he was crying over there. Well, I was just looking to him and offering my prayers. And then I saw after some time that he woke up. He must have gone on in sleep and then he woke up. And then he cried loudly, Allahu Akbar. He said, after finishing my prayers, I came to him and said, young man, what happened? Why you are crying? You are sitting in front of Hazrat Abbas. Give his intercession to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, and Allah will accept your prayers. He said, I don't think so. What I am asking Hazrat Abbas, he can do it for me. He said, what happened? Say, I have a little daughter who is blind by birth. She's blind by birth. Just yesterday I was offering my prayers in my house when my daughter came to me and said, "Oh my father, oh Baba, I can hear the children from outside on streets. They are saying that this flower is of that color and this flower is so beautiful and that flower is so pretty." He said, "What are these colors are? Can I see those colors anytime? Would I be able to see all these things?" He said, I was so irritated and said, "Oh daughter, offer 2 rakat prayers and ask Allah that bihaqq al-Abbas give you these eyes and inshallah Allah will give you. And Hazrat Abbas will make sure that you will get the eyes." He said, I said this thing in sentence to my child in irritation, but I know that she cannot have eyes. She cannot have eyes because she is born blind and she cannot have the eyes. The scholar said, no. Don't take Hazrat Abbas so little. He has the powers. He has the power to intercede between your du'as and between Allah's acceptance. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Again, he went to the Zari of Hazrat Abbas and made his prayers. Again, he went to sleep. And again, he saw something in his dreams. And again, he woke up and said, again, he was crying. Again, this alim asked that, what happened? He said, I saw in my dreams that there is a queue, that people are standing in front of Hazrat Abbas and Hazrat Abbas is giving rewards and fulfilling the prayers and du'as of everyone. And whenever my turn comes, Hazrat Abbas say, go at the end of the line. And this happens several times. And it seems that Hazrat Abbas would not like to give me and fulfill my prayers. This alim said, Hazrat Abbas has not refused you. He will provide you. Allahu Akbar. That time it was close to the time of Fajr. This alim says, I went for my Fajr prayers. I don't know when this young man left Haram of Hazrat Abbas. But after performing my Fajr prayers and taqibat, when I was crossing in front of his house, I saw there's a huge crowd over there. I asked, and I did not know that, whose house is that? Somebody told that there is a miracle over there. Miracle. A born blind girl has been given eyes by Haqqi Hazrat Abbas. So when Hazrat Abbas can give eyes to that blind girl, have that yaqeen in yourself. So whatever praise you will make tonight, you will not go empty handed. Harchmi khayim shad bekhoy. Jo mangna hai mang lo, aaj ki shab mang lo, yaqeen karo daste khali na jaoge, har arzu puri ho jaoge. Babul Hawaij ke paas aaye ho, Babul Hawaij ke paas aaye ho, aur iske paas kabhi khali na jaoge. Agar Abbas pe yaqeen karte ho, Abbas ke chahne wale aur manne wale ho, agar yaqeen karte ho, agar yaqeen be Abbas dore, agar aza dore Abbasi, bas bekhohi ke dua های شما مستجاب بکنه پیش خدا. الله اکبر، الله اکبر. حضرت عباس، ہاں وہ وقت آ گیا. The time came that that when everyone has tendered their life and sacrificed their life, now there is no more no companions over there. Zuhair ibn Qain, Muslim ibn Awsaja, Habib ibn Mazahir, Hurair Riyahi, Burair ibn Khuzair, John, and all other people, they have sacrificed their lives and their bodies are scattered in the plains of Karbala. Allahu Akbar. Now there is no more Ali Akbar. There is no more Qasim. There is no Father. There is no one else except Abbas. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Hazrat Abbas came close to Hazrat Imam Hussain, asked, "My Mawla, my Aqa, if you give me permission, allow me to go to the battlefield." Allahu Akbar. Maybe Imam Hussain had said that, "O Abbas, you are the flag bearer of my army, my battalion. How could I give you permission?" Maybe Hazrat Abbas has mentioned, Oh my master, where is that army? Where are those companions whose flag bearer I was?" Allahu Akbar. While these two brothers having conversation, Allahu Akbar, there was a cry and a hue in the camp. Why? From children. Allah Ta'ala. I pia, and bachoye koche, teshne laban, sine shon suzan bol, as teshnagi halak mishudan. Allahu Akbar. Those little kids, were so thirsty, close to their dad, and they were saying, "Oh thirst." Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussain asked Abul Fadl Abbas, "Okay, if you would like to go in the battlefield, go first fetch some water for these kids." Allahu Akbar. For these kids, maybe they can have some water. Now this conversation was overheard by Hazrat Sakina, the little beloved one of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sakina overheard the conversation of Hazrat Imam Hussain and Hazrat Abbas. She bought her a mashkiza. Allahu Akbar. Mashkiza marabbebar. Be khater hamen shayad gofte bashan. سکای سکینه به خاطر همین آب آوردن برای سکینه. الله اکبر. ها چچا کے پاس آئے اور کہا, چچا میرا مشکیزہ لے جائیے اور پانی لے کر آئیے. الله اکبر. امام حسین gave this mission to Abbas. الله اکبر. In some of the books has been mentioned that Hazrat Zainab also overheard the conversation and got this message that Imam Hussain is sending Abbas to fetch water from behind the curtains. She said, Oh my brother, are you sending Abbas, our last hope? Allahu Akbar. Zainab has pushed the parde gov. آیا برادرم عباس سرداری می فرستی اون آخرین امید برای ما؟ اگر عباس را ما چه کار میکنی؟ چجور برمیگردیم به مدینه؟ الله اکبر. امام حسین said to Zainab, be patient my sister, he will go and come back with the water. Maybe these children can have a little bit of water. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas went to towards Arab, towards Furat, towards Nahr al-Qama. Nahr al-Qama, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He went, the people, the enemy came. They were being 4,000 army men placed by Amr ibn Sa'd over there. 4,000 army men over there. Hazrat Abbas, when he wanted to enter into Al-Qama, these enemy used to come. He killed and slaughtered. It's been mentioned, it's been slaughtered more than 80 people. 80 people over there. And he entered into there. Allahu Akbar. Nahr al-Qama mein daakhil huye. Mashkize ko bhara. Allahu Akbar. Apne chullu mein paani liya. Chullu mein paani lekar ye ka. Ya nafs honi. Ay nafs. Kya tu Hussain ke baad baaki rehna chahta hai. Ye kaise mumkin hai. Ke Zahra ka laal tishna lab ho. Aur tu pyaas apni bujha le. Allahu Akbar. Waqti ke Abbas tu nahar furat. Furud umad. Mashki jis ro pur kar. Abr tu dastish grev. Mikhaz benush un abr. Be khayal برادر شفتاد امام حسین انفوان گفت به خودش گفت چجور ممکنه پسر حضرت زهرا تشنه لب باشه و من سیراب بشم. الله اکبر. تشنه لب برگرد. He rode on the back of horse. Now all his intentions, all his mission was that somehow this water can reach to the camps of Hussein alayhi salam. Hussein alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Enemy knew this time that if they come from front, they would not be able to stop Abbas. So they hide themselves on the right bank and the left bank. Allahu Akbar. When Abbas started to go towards the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, a person came from his hideout, chopped off his head. His right hand was been cut off. Hazrat Abbas said, if you think that after cutting off my hand, I will leave to assist and help my brother, my imam, this would not happen. Allahu Akbar. He took his mission. He tried to save the water. He moved forward. Another person came from the left side and he cut off his left hand. Har do ta dastash buride shod. Har do ta dast buride shod. Dono haath Abbas ke juda ho gaye. Are Abbas ke bazu na rahe. Allahu Akbar. Are jaise hi Abbas ke do bazu qata hue, teeron ki barish ho gayi. Allahu Akbar. Are hamen tor ke وقتی دستاش قطع شد، تیر بارانش کردن، خنجر زدن، اره الله اکبر، شمشیر زدن. الله اکبر. حضرت عباس came down. He fell from his horse. الله اکبر. You know what happened? What happened? One night in Karbala on Najaf, there was a reciter of Majlis. After reciting the Masaib of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after reciting the Masaib of Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas, he went to sleep. went to sleep. What he saw? He saw in his dream that Hazrat Fatima came to in his dream and said, "O reciter, O alim, why you haven't read and recited the entire musibat of my beloved son?" He said, my dear Fatima Zahra, Allahu Akbar, yes, I have recited all the masaib of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. She said, "No, my son Abbas, why haven't you mentioned that whenever somebody used to fall down on ground, they used to get the support of their head? What when Hazrat Abbas fell? He did not have head. He came down on his face." Abbas dastash nadar be surat jufta. Allahu Akbar. Abbas hath bazunat. Abbas apne chehre ke bal zameen par gire. Sadaye Karbala mein, Karbala mein ek sada goonji. Assalamu alaikum ya Abdullah, alayka minni salam ya Abdullah. My Imam Hussein was standing at a distance and looking towards his brother. He saw that Abbas came down and heard his salam. Allah, Allahu Akbar. And when Imam Hussein was standing on that mound at that place from where he can watch Hazrat Abbas, Hazrat Zainab was also there at the door of that camp, and she was looking to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was looking to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and when she saw that grief on the face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam said, "Al-Aran kasara zahri. My back is broken. My brother has been killed." Allahu Akbar. Imam went to Hazrat Abbas, close to Hazrat Abbas. Proceed. برادرام چیزی از من بخواهی؟ گفت بله میخوام این خونهایی که تو چشمم افتاده این را پاک کنید. میخوام بار آخر شما را زیارت کنم، شما را ببینم. حضرت امام حسین نے پوچھا عباس کوئی آخری خواہش ہے؟ کہا ہاں بھائی، ہاں میرے آقا، میرے آنکھوں میں جو خون آ گیا ہے، یہ سر کا خون آنکھیں جو پہنچ گیا ہے، اسے ذرا صاف کر دیجئے، اسے صاف کر دے، میں آخری مرتبہ آپ کے چہرے کا دیدار کرنا چاہتا ہوں. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And Hazrat Abbas go be Imam Hussein. Hazrat Abbas go to Hussein alayhi salam. "Oh my brother, I have a wish. I have a request. Please don't take my body in care, because I could not bring water for children. I would not like to be taken into care." Ajrukum ala Allah, ajrukum ala Allah, ajrukum ala Allah. Allahu Akbar. Imam came back with a broken flag. A broken flag. When Imam was close to the camp, in this Hazrat Sakina, gathered other children. Look, my Ammu is coming. She thought that Abbas is coming back. back. Abbas is coming back. She gathered all children. Allahu Akbar. She said, my Ammu is coming. My uncle is coming back. He's bringing water for us. But when Imam Hussein came close to the cave, Hazrat Sakina did not ask about water. The first thing she asked, where is my uncle? Where is my Ammu? Where is my uncle? Where you have left him? As an Imam Hussein said, oh Sakina, he also slept on the plains of Karbala. Allahu Akbar. This conversation between Imam Hussein and Sakina was been overheard by Hazrat Zainab and other ladies. They came to know that Hazrat Abbas has been martyred. Allahu Akbar. Wa Muhammada, wa Aliyah, wa Fatima. Assalamu alaikum. Ya Abd al-Salih, al-Muti'u lillah wa lirasulihi. Allahu Akbar. Assalam ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Allahumma نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء وبحق العباس. إلهي تقبل منا هذا القليل. Oh Allah, accept this little ibadah بحق الحسين بحق العباس. Allah, enlightened our hearts and minds with the light of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to follow the footsteps of Hadrat Abbas alayhis salam. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to seek the intercession of Quran and Ahlul Bayt on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, forgive us and sins of our fathers and forefathers and all mu'mineen and mu'minat. Oh Allah, give early recovery and health to all the bedridden and hospitalized people. Oh Allah, give help and assistance and victory to the oppressed people. Oh Allah, give health and prosperity to our ulama and maraji'een. Oh Allah, hasten the reappearance or of 12th Imam al-As, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, and give us tawfiq to be amongst his followers, for true and sincere followers. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kull وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائي في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا ونصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. ماتم حسين.